studying Luke chapter 18, and he sent me this text today. And this is what it said. It said, if you're praying about it, God is working on it. That's all it was. If you're praying about it, God is working on it. And it was just a direct word to me, because there's been so many things that, I've prayed about, and I know that you have prayed about, and I haven't seen the results like I would like to see in some cases. Although I'm rejoicing over Dennis Kirby's miracle, and I know other miracles that we've heard about here tonight, but when I got the text, it was as if the Lord was just, I don't know, he may have sent it to every friend he's got, I don't know. I don't know that it was just to me, but he sent just those few words. If you're praying about it, God is working on it. Praise God. And it was a confirmation to me that God is at work, then we're not to lose heart. We're not to faint. We're to keep praying. Luke chapter 18. Let's read these verses here. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought to keep on praying and don't give up. One version says, don't give up. Another version says, don't lose heart. We ought to just keep on praying and never give up and never lose heart. There has been some teaching that has been promoted over the years that if you pray the second time about a situation, that you are praying in unbelief. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that the Scripture gives us many examples of persistent prayer, staying at it. Just keep on praying. Keep on believing. And every day, calling those unsaved friends and loved ones, calling their name out before God. Every day, those that you care about, that you're praying for, that are sick or have different circumstances, or marriages that are struggling, or whatever that the need might be, just keep on praying. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Keep on praying and believing. Amen. It's not been that long ago that Peggy Joe said to me, I just don't think that Dennis will ever get saved. He just is so hard and so resistant. And I said, now hold it just a minute now. You're praying and I'm praying. A whole lot more people are praying. I don't have any doubt but what he's going to get saved. I believe he's going to get saved. And I don't know when, I don't know the circumstances or how that God is going to work in that, but I believe that he will be saved. I believe it. Peggy Joe, if you're watching tonight, Dennis Kirby's going to get saved. He's going to get saved. And sooner than later, I hope. Amen. We can't lose heart. Then he spake this parable to this end, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Amen. Now, a lot of people have misunderstood this parable because they can't see the the comparison between this unjust judge and our Heavenly Father. Well, that's not the point. The point actually is that they're actually completely opposite. There's nothing about this unjust judge that is like God. Nothing that's like him. But she comes to him because he is the man, he is the judge, and he fears, does it fear God? Does it fear man? He doesn't care about anything. This is a man that's consumed with himself. All he cares about is himself. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about the people that he's supposed to be judge over them. He cares about no one. He's probably out he's called him the unjust judge. So no doubt he was passing judgment that was unfair, that wasn't true. It wasn't righteous. It wasn't just. And he probably did it for extra financial gain or whatever. It really doesn't go into the detail. It just says he was unjust. And so he was a wicked man who didn't care about people, didn't regard God at all, could care less. But yet this widow woman comes to him with her need. She comes to him. And she came saying, avenge me of mine adversary. It doesn't say what her adversary or who her adversary is. We just know that, especially in this time, that this widow woman, no doubt, has been taken advantage of. She's probably been ill-treated in some way, maybe stolen from. Who knows? You remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. The woman that was widowed and her husband was in great debt, and so the creditors were going to come, take everything she had, including her sons. And so she goes to the prophet, and God miraculously provides for her to see all of her debt paid. And so we don't really know what this woman's debt was or who her adversary was. It just lets us know that she is determined. She is not going to be turned back, even though she has no real confidence in this person that she's coming to. She just keeps coming. And by her continually coming, finally, the man says to himself, this woman is not going to leave me alone. This woman is going to drive me crazy. She's here when I get here in the morning. She stays through the day. She's the last person I see at night. And everywhere I go, she's there. She is tormenting me. And because I don't regard God. I don't regard man. But because this woman keeps coming, I am going to meet her need. Now the lesson here is a lesson in the power of prayer and the power of persistent prayer. Prayer that won't give up. Prayer that is determined. Prayer that is a prayer of faith. It is not unbelief to pray again and again and again and again and again. It's not unbelief if you pray about some need for weeks, months, even years. That's not unbelief. That's the absolute opposite. That's tremendous faith that a person keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps placing their trust, and they do not lose heart. They do not give up. They're persistent in their prayer. Amen. So this parable reminds us of the importance of persistence in prayer. You know that everything that goes on in the work of God rises or falls upon our prayer. And everything of value in your life, in your spiritual life, your walk with God, it all rises and falls on your prayer life, on your willingness to be a persistent person of prayer, calling upon the Lord. Prayer is a function of the Spirit. It's not something that the flesh really wants to do. The flesh kind of resists prayer because it is literally a function of the Spirit. That's why that the flesh screams out so loud in the morning before 6 o'clock. When I know when I crawl out of the bed and I know I'm going to walk to the church and it's 16 degrees and the bed feels so warm and my flesh is screaming out to me saying, stay in the bed. It's warm. It'll be fine. You don't have to pray this morning. It's not necessary. But then there's something in my spirit that says, oh, no, no, no. I've got to do this. I got to get up. I got to get down there. I got to pray. There are too many people in need. There are too many circumstances that are in need. And it's the function of the spirit. Listen to the voice of your spirit and not your flesh. Amen. Your flesh is not going to want to pray at any time of the day. Your flesh is going to resist that. But the Spirit of God in you is going to motivate you. Let's pray. Let's take our needs to the Lord. And the enemy will lie to you in a lot of ways and say, well, you just prayed about that yesterday. Why do you have to pray about it today? Well, because by our importunity, by our continual coming, we are able to see God move and God work. Amen. We don't know. Now, I understand that God is nothing like this unjust judge. He's nothing like this unjust judge. I mean, he is pure and he's kind. He's loving. He's compassionate. Who would turn away this widow? This man was hard and calloused and indifferent toward people in their need. That's not our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father wants you to come to Him. He wants to hear your cry. He wants to hear your prayer. And He's compassionate toward you and loving toward you. This man could care less, but God cares. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. He cares about all of the things that matter to you. And as Brother James Martin said, if you're praying about it, God is working in it. Praise God. He's at work. Amen. And that encouraged me to know that sometimes, you know, your prayers seem somewhat dry and you don't feel really mightily anointed to pray, but you're just praying anyway. It encourages me to know that when we pray, that God is already working. He's already moving. He's already working in the situation that you're bringing into the Lord. My favorite passage of scripture, I guess life scripture, that I go to, it's my go-to verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Man, there's a lot packed in that verse. Call unto me. Call unto me. I will answer thee. No other conditions are mentioned there. No other conditions. The only condition is call on me and I'll answer you. Call on me. I'll answer you. Call on the name of the Lord. I will answer thee. And then he says, and I will show you. I'll answer you and I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll give you visible evidence that I'm working. Visible evidence that I am working. You will see the hand of God. You'll see God. You may not see all of the answer, but you'll see the hand of God that is working. Just like the little text that I got today was a reminder to me that God is working. I'll show you great and mighty things. That's the way God wants to reveal himself. He wants to move and reveal himself in such a way that I get a text from Peggy Joe that just says, they went through all the scans. They went through all the cancer doctor, went through all of his work, and he can't find any evidence that there's any cancer there anymore. Now, just a few months ago, it was fourth stage cancer. And I've got good friends, Brother Gary Norris, a good friend that was diagnosed with fourth stage cancer, and 6 months later, he's gone. And I know of other people in that kind of predicament. And that's weighing in the back of my mind when I heard fourth stage cancer. But no, we cry out to God. And we called upon the Lord. He's showing us great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. Amen. Because we're willing to pray. He said, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What does that mean? I don't know. That just means to me that God will reveal his mighty power in ways that you could never imagine or expect. He delights in showing himself strong in your behalf in ways that you could never dream of. You could never figure it out. You could never even plan it the way that God does whenever he reveals and moves great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you do this? Many times I can advise God on how he should answer my prayers. Do you do that? Have you ever done that before? Now, Lord, this is what we really need you to do. Could you do this, and could you do it this way, and could you work it out this way, and work all these, if you just do all these things. And the Lord always does it in a much better way than I could ever come up with, in a much more amazing way, in a way which he receives the glory and the honor. Also in the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 5, we were reading in Luke chapter 18 that parable about the unjust judge. This is another account, Luke chapter 11 in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Vance Havner, a famous preacher, preached from this text, and he called it 3 friends. He said there was a friend that was in need, and then the second point was a friend to feed, and the third point was a friend indeed. A friend indeed. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Can you get the message there? It's like he opens up the door and says, okay, I'm not going to give you a loaf of bread. I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to give it all to you if you'll just leave me alone. I'll give it all to you. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seeking you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The word importunity, maybe not a word that you've used very commonly, but the word means persistence to the point of annoyance. Persistence to the point of annoyance. The wonderful thing about this is this. You're never going to annoy God. You're never going to get on his nerves. You're never going to come too much. You're never going to ask too much because he delights in your prayers. He delights in your coming. God will honor your persistence. God will honor your persistence, and he will work, and he is working. Even right now, he's already working and he's moving. He's working out circumstances. He's working out timing, all the various details. We want God to work right now. Do it. Right now, God, I want you to take care of this problem right now. But God is at work, and he has a plan. And he's going to work in his own goodwill and time. And it'll be perfect the way that he moves. And when he moves, you can trust him to move. Amen. He's already preparing the circumstances and working each detail so that this answer to prayer will be the evidence of the supernatural hand of God. If you're praying about it, he's working on it. Praise God. Amen. So believe that. Believe that. Trust the Lord. Just want to urge you. I know there's 24 of us here tonight. I think it's the number I counted. I want to urge you once again, as a call to prayer. And there's been a lot of prayer this year. There's been fasting and prayer, but I just want to call you with a renewed sense of urgency to pray, and to pray every day, to call upon the Lord every day. And if you can, if the Lord directs you and you can come here, right now there's about 4 or 5 that come here most mornings and pray, and it's good. It's good. The Lord is here, and He meets with us here every morning. You can do that at your home if you can't get here to this building. You can do that at your home. You can call upon the Lord, and you can join with us here in the church praying and believing. And we're going to see the hand of God working supernaturally. He's already working on it. If you're praying about it, God is already working on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just give Him praise here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that by our persistent prayer, by our determination, Lord, to never let go, but to continually come, Lord, praying and believing. I know there's not a heart that anywhere that can't be changed. There's no one that's so hard and so resistant, but Lord, You cannot work in their life. There's no one that's so blinded in their sin, but Lord, You can't break through that blindness, Lord, and open their eyes to the truth of the gospel. Oh, Lord, there's no one so far removed from the truth of the gospel, but what You cannot reach down to where they are and pull them up out of that miry clay and change their life, put a new song in their heart, transform them, change them, Lord, for the glory of God. And there's no circumstance, no need, no sickness, no disease, no problem, nothing, Lord, that is beyond the power of persistent prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glorify Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.